Right, everyone, lovely to see you. It is Future Melbourne Committee here on Tuesday, the 16th of April 2019, and we are opening the meeting at 5:30 p.m. I welcome councillors, management and members of the public. Welcome all of you and thank you for attending this evening. We respectfully acknowledge that we are meeting on the traditional lands of the Boonwurrung and the Woiwurrung Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, and we pay respect to their elders past and present. For the Kulin Nation, Melbourne has always been an important meeting place for events of social, educational, sporting and cultural significance. Today, we are proud to say that Melbourne is a significant gathering place for all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. I take this opportunity to notify members of the public that we are live streaming this meeting. And it live streams through the City of Melbourne's website, and an audio and a video recording of the meeting is also published on our website by close of business tomorrow. Now, for everybody here, whilst we do try to avoid filming members of the public as a function of our live streaming, occasionally and inadvertently we do capture people's faces on the filming. If this happens, we apologise, but we are putting you on notice that there is a possibility that your image may be captured on that video and in our live streaming, so please take that on notice. The unconfirmed minutes of this meeting will be available from the City of Melbourne's website as soon as practicable. Should you have any queries relating to the conduct of the meeting this evening, the documentation or the submission process, please speak with a member of our council business team who are here with us this evening. I request at this stage that everyone could just check their mobile phones and make sure they're turned to silent or off for the duration of the meeting. That would be fantastic. Thank you. And I note that the agenda tonight comprises four reports from management and one item of general business. We should also note at this point that we've received apologies from the Deputy Lord Mayor and from Councillors Francis, Skilly and Rees. I advise members of the committee and the public that where the committee makes a decision on the basis of fewer than six members voting in favour of it, the decision may be referred by a councillor to council for decision. Councillors, as usual, we're noting here that if you have a direct or an indirect interest as defined under the Local Government Act 1989 in relation to any matter to be considered this evening, please note your type and nature of your interest prior to consideration of the item. Thank you, councillors. I am now calling on a councillor to move a resolution adopting the minutes of open meeting number 53 that was held on the 2nd of April 2019. Councillor Pinder, thank you. Councillor Riley is seconding that motion. Councillors, we're putting this motion to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hand. That is unanimous, so I declare that motion carried. Thank you. Now, councillors, are there any matters arising from those minutes that you would like to raise at this point? None. Thank you. The following submissions have been received in accordance with our Council's Meeting Procedures Code. I'm going to read them all out, so bear with me as we go through each item for this evening, please. In relation to Agenda Item 6.1, which is the Draft City River Strategy, we have a request to speak from Michael O'Neill, Yara Pools, and an item of correspondence also from Michael. In relation to Agenda Item 6.2, the Ministerial Planning Referral TPMR-2016-23/A681-693, Collins Street, Docklands, Melbourne Quarter Tower, Stage C2, we have a request to speak from Vaughan Connor. In relation to Agenda Item 6.3, Waste and Resource Recovery Strategy 2030, we have requests to speak from Vincent Ryan, Craig Carnell, Yolan Rogers, Artemis Petici from the South Bank Residents Association, Jacqueline Van Heerden and Sarah River. And we have items of correspondence from Vincent Ryan, Amy, Barrientos Indovino, Man Yuan Chick, Sam May Tay, Craig Carnell, Yolan Rogers, RG Fry from Southbank Sustainability Group, Artemis Petici from the Southbank Residents Association, Jacqueline Van Heerden, Sarah River, Virshwa Dravid, and Ivan Unatan. In relation to agenda item 6.4, which is proposed travel by Councillor Riley to the Seeds and Chips Conference, Milan, May 2019, there's an item of correspondence received from Chris Thrum. And in relation to agenda item 7.1, proposed travel, Councillor Jackie Watts, Smart Precincts and Innovation Hubs Summit and Maritime Heritage Meeting, Sydney, May 2019, we have an item of correspondence from Chris Thrum. Now, at this point, is there anyone here who wanted to speak or present this evening whose name I didn't read in that long list? All good? Thank you. So, in advance of us doing business this evening, I'm just letting all of our submitters know that you will be invited to address the committee at the time that the relevant agenda item is being considered. You have 3 minutes to address the committee. It's the intention of the committee to adhere to the time limit this evening. To assist you, we have a countdown counter clock on the wall. A beep goes at 2 minutes to let you know that you've got 1 minute left, and then at 1 minute it goes again, and at that time it would be great if you could please finish your submission and take your seat. The great other part of FMC is that we get to hear in terms of questions from the public, and we have 15 minutes at the start of every meeting and the 15 minutes at the end for questions. These are for questions. This is not a time for presentations or submissions, and questions should be no longer than 90 seconds. And at this point, if you have a question, could you please raise your hands and we'll get the names of everybody who's wanting to ask a question, and then we'll invite you to come to the podium. So if you could please raise your hand if you have a question for question time here in this 15-minute bracket. None at this point. There's more time at the end if you change your mind. So thank you very much. We can now move to reports from management. And I'm delighted to call on Councillor Leppert, who is going to assume the role of Chair of the meeting in relation to the planning portfolio. Thank you, Councillor Leppert.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. There are two reports from management for consideration under the planning portfolio. The first is Agenda Item 6.1, Draft City River Strategy. Would councillors like a presentation on this item? There's questions for Margie, if we could, but we'll not ask for a presentation at this time. Councillor Pinder.
Hi, Maggie. My question is around the Green Line in Priority 2, prioritise North Bank, the High Line, not the Green Line, as I know it, and which is my clear understanding at this stage, is only an API for which some funding has been allocated to gauge feasibility and feasibility only. So I'm curious to know why this has been referred to in the draft City River Strategy, where perhaps the references need to be more about open space and green space, which, of course, we all need more of that, because at this stage, in my mind, it's only a possible initiative. Isn't it confusing and misleading?
Okay, just making sure it's done. Yes, at this stage, the Green Line is a... is just an initiative. It is in conceptual stage. It's not realised. But it is an API for this year that is being moved ahead. So it is referenced in design. It is publicly acknowledged as an API, annual plan initiative for council. And it is a key focus for improving the North Bank section of the river. So that is a key priority as part of the City River Strategy.
So as a Green Line or a High Line?
The Green Line is a working name. The actual project does not have a name. It's purely in conceptual form at this stage. but it will form a series of improvements to public space, improve greening of the river edge, and that's why the working title of Green Line came about.
Sia, did you want to add to that?
I would, if that's okay, through you, Lord Mayor. Councillor Pinder...
Sorry, I'm chairing, through me, but that's right.
You are. Councillor Leppard, through you, Chair. Let's put me back in my box. Councillor Pinder, what I would like to say is each of the strategies that are coming forward, one of the conversations that we've been having at the executive table is how can they accommodate the Green Line? So as strategies are being prepared across the city and we're looking at the framework for the city, two of our directors are looking at which strategies will be able to promote what is the Green Line. I think your answer around Green Line, High Line, the term Green Line has been used because some are at grade level and some won't be at grade level. So it's the term because it's broader by way of its definition. But where there's an opportunity to identify more paths or more of Green Line activity across the city, that's what's being planned for. And the intention is that will come to a future council meeting in about 2 months' time, I think, in about 2 months' time.
Okay. Thank you, CEO. Councillor Pinder, does that answer your questions? Fantastic. And apologies, CEO, for my demeanour earlier. I chair with an iron fist. Can I ask now if there are any other questions of Margie from any other councillor? Otherwise, we'll move to the debate. Okay. Thank you, Margie. Now, I don't think Michael O'Neill is here, but just before we move to the debate, Monique, are you speaking on behalf of Michael O'Neill from Yarrapools? You've got up to 3 minutes to address the committee. Please come to the lectern. Thank you.
Michael's twins were just born, so I'm subbing in. So my name is Monique Woodward from Walwala Architecture. I've been working pro bono for the non-for-profit community group Yarrapools for 2 of its 4 years. I'm also on the board that's been working on a stage 2 business case funded by Melbourne Water. Our mission is towards a swimmable Yarra, and the catalyst for change as we see it is a Yarra pool. We've read the fabulous draft river strategy and keen for there to be a greater emphasis on a swimmable Yarra, a swimmable river. Wading gets a mention, as does floating wetlands, softening the edge of the river, improving biodiversity and better linkages, which is very much in alignment with Yarrapools, as is a focus on North Bank as a key area for investment. Many of you may have seen our NGV, Melbourne Design Week funded fly-through. We want to stress that this is really not a design, not a project or a development proposal. We are and have always been extremely keen to partner with the City of Melbourne on this exciting pilot citizen-led public initiative, having already co-curated with over 35 key stakeholders within multiple workshops, M Pavilion events, RMIT Design Studio and Research Studios. Yarrapool featured heavily in the Melbourne Open House Waterfront Program, a deep dive into the role of design that design plays in reframing Melbourne's relationship to water, consisting of very well-attended river cruises, the first of which City of Melbourne was invited to, along with community supporters, traditional elders, several community, recreational, environmental and economic community groups, as well as media partners. The second was a sold-out public event that reinforces significant community desire for improved water quality and recreational in-water and on-water activities. We want to work collaboratively with your design team, and as part of the submission, have already shared all of our research, user needs analysis, and findings of our business case, including expected patronage. Our interests are completely aligned with yours, and we believe Yarrapools would sit perfectly and exemplify the fabulous work within this draft and the Green Line just mentioned. In summary, we want our concepts to be included and explored with the community as part of the strategy finalisation. We want the City of Melbourne to work collaboratively with Yarrapools to determine the project's feasibility. We would love for it to be acknowledged the aim of a swimmable Yarra and include the concept of an in-Yarra pool. We would also love if the report or strategy acknowledged the significant community engagement that's already occurred and the huge interest in Yarra pools. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Monique. Any questions for Monique Woodward before we go? Councillor Riley has a question.
I do have a question.
Yes.
The funding of such an amazing concept, how is that going to work?
So we've been talking to an extreme amount of people. There has been, we engaged with several management facility operators who suggested that the deconstructed nature of the pool's architecture would allow for sort of government levers to be engaged with that could fund Learn to Swim, for example. But I guess we really are a professional community group, and I guess we're looking forward to collaboratively working that out together. But our mission really is towards a swimmable Yarra.
Yeah. Thank you. Thanks. Any other questions? No, you can take a seat. Thanks, Meg. We'll now move to the debate. There's a slightly amended motion that has not been sent to council business. It's very short. Part 9.1, if you wouldn't mind tweaking it slightly. If you've got a spare copy, that would be fantastic. We might just pause for 10 seconds there. We're going to add a sentence to 9.1, and I'm then going to move that motion, and I apologise the motion hadn't been sent through to council business. Thank you, Council Business Team. The motion, as it appears on the screen, I will move, and I call on a councillor to second the motion. Councillor Roque. Thank you to the officers for a lot of hard work in pulling together this high-level strategy, which is in draft form going out for community consultation if this motion passes today, which I'm sure it will. The council plan was adopted a couple of years ago now, and developing a new strategy for the city's relationship with our Yarra River was a really important component of that council plan. It's not something that we've had a specific focus on in the past, and so I'm delighted that halfway or a bit more through this term of council, we've pulled together what is a remarkable series of principles and actions to make sure that the city embraces the Yarra in so many different ways, whether that's the health of the river proper, whether it's the greening of the river banks, whether it's public open space and making sure that those areas are truly accessible and shared and open and inviting for everyone, whether it's the city's maritime heritage, which I'm sure Councillor Watts might talk about as well. This pulls together a lot of remarkable, a lot of thinking and a lot of thinking and I'm hoping that this can help continue a really important public conversation around what the city's relationship with the Yarra is. There's a tweak to the motion here which talks about clarifying the City of Melbourne's riverfront activation policies so that we have a little bit more of an understanding about what we will and won't support on the river's edge. That's not just about the submissions that have been made here, it's about a series of things. There's lots of proposals in the ether about activating the river and how City engages with Parks Victoria or any other level of government, or in fact when the City does have some more direct control, this would be a good opportunity to talk about how those uses, how those activities work together with all of those other principles that we're trying to embed in this policy. So that is the purpose of the addition there. Can I thank the Yarra Pools team for putting together their submission for this meeting today? Personally, I love the ambition and the desired goal of Yarra Pools. The idea of a swimmable Yarra is such a beautiful idea that I think a lot of people can get their heads around, even if we're not going to see that happening in the next, you know, year or two. It's a beautiful ambition to work towards. Anything that works towards that goal can only be good for the health of the Yarra River as well. So I love the idea, and certainly the work that's been done by the Yarra Pools crew to work with community, with traditional owners, which is something we've yet to do as part of our engagement, but which Yarra Pools has done an extraordinary amount of community work on, is something that I hope we can learn as much from as possible before we come back with a final version of this strategy. There is so much good in that submission and so much good in the work that's been done there. So thank you very much for that submission. I'd love to see where the city and the Yarra Pools proposals can line up. Councillor Oak.
Thank you, Councillor Leppett. I echo a lot of what you have already said in my support for this recommendation. I start too saying who wouldn't want a swimmable Yarra. On the point about Yarra pools, and thank you for the submission verbally and also in writing from the team, who I have a lot of respect for. They've been, you know, working on it for a long time, and it's a range of people in our city. As you say, it's a community group, but it's really, there's a lot of organisations, a lot of individuals involved. And it is visionary, and it's interesting that, you know, we're talking about this Green Line concept that has been inspired by High Line, and High Line, you know, it was created, established by visionary people in the community of New York that saw an opportunity and really spent a long time making it happen. And then the city got on board, you know. But this, you know, hopefully the city or other stakeholders might get on board Yarra pools in a similar way. But I think, you know, High Line can't just be recreated by a city. It was established by a community, and the city is a partner now. But it... you know, it's really, I think it's a unique analogy, I think. Sorry, an analogy to what Yarra Pools is trying to achieve. The Yarra River is a central part of our history and our city and our identity, and it is, you know, such a key feature, and this river strategy is tries to, and it will do so when we go out for community consultation, raise the river significance. And I think, you know, the approach of looking at the culture, the ecology, the movement, the place is really important. I obviously love the focus on the ecology and bringing back a clean river through, you know, a river frontage that is actually more like it used to be. You know, the riparian vegetation, the, you know, planting plants that should be there to help make it clean and swimmable, but also talk to the traditional owners of that space and of the rivers, of the river. Our nature and the city strategy, which is a key part of our urban forest strategy, is looking at, you know, the understory of our forest, and a key part of forests are waterways, and I think that this talks about how we can do that better and look at the ecology of the river as a key part of you know, ultimately our urban forest strategy, but looking at the waterways. So I love that part of the strategy, and I really look forward to seeing how we engage with, you know, our knowledge sector in the city, you know, people and research institutes that know a lot about this work, more so than perhaps we do, and really engaging with research that's already underway with respect to, you know, riparian vegetation and also vegetation that talks to the cultural and ecological stories of those plants. So that's really important. It doesn't yet mention Yarra pools, or it doesn't yet mention specific projects because it's broad, and it's about going out for community consultation, and it's about you know, not necessarily identifying specific projects just yet, but that might come through the consultation. So we'll wait to see what comes back through that approach. So I think it's a beautiful document. Exactly how it fits and, you know, the implementation and how we actually make it happen is yet to be seen. But I think that we need to have these visions and these documents to help us, you know, focus our attention, I guess. So, thank you to the team for pulling it together. And clearly there's still a lot of steps in the way, and I know colleagues will talk about some other aspects of it probably in the debate that are important to them to come through that consultation process as well. But, support the recommendation.
Thank you, Councillor Oak. Additional contributions to the debate? Lord Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Leppett, chairing this part of the meeting. I concur, and very much speaking in support of this City River Strategy. Everything that we can do to embrace the river is welcome, but of course a big part of this City River Strategy is about how we bring the edges of the river alive and really increase those green open spaces. And I just note that green open spaces, whether they're micro parks through to large parks, have wonderful benefits for individuals from an emotional, mental, and physical health perspective, There are studies that show that access to those sorts of spaces, and particularly where they involve water and green open spaces, have major productivity issues, which is important for our city. These spaces help with our climate mitigation as we look at how we run a sustainable city, and particularly around issues like urban heat island effect and how we better manage storm water. And of course, they very much can underpin not just that those aspects for our locals and our residents, but residents and workers, but also for our visitor economy, with the last destination Melbourne exit questionnaire showing that the number one experience that people had in Melbourne were our parks and gardens, and this strategy is very much going to help underpin that. I note as well the very strong association with our Aboriginal culture, and the fact that Australia has the longest continuous living culture in the world is something that we have underinvested in and underappreciated for a long time. And I think that we have an opportunity here to really bring that feature of our history alive, and again be a major informer, educator and attraction for locals and visitors alike, and I'm looking forward to that. This really does help bring a new perspective to our river through this strategy. I think we'll all agree that right across the stakeholders that we've lacked a long-term strategic focus for our river, and I commend the team for really showing some leadership in getting this long-term strategic focus and the conversations and debates and engagement around it started. I note that this strategy will help guide future projects and how they all fit together, which is something that is very welcome given the level of activity, again, over a number of stakeholders here who have an interest in this area. And I'm really pleased that this document sets out the Council's priorities with the Yarra very much at its centre. I support the addition of the activation of Riverfront, noting the wonderful proactive engagement by Yarra Pools and lots of other ideas that come into us. And again, this strategy gives the framework to be able to consider those sorts of fabulous ideas as we move forward. So for all of those reasons, I am happy to support this motion. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Other contributions to the debate? Councillor Watts.
Well, it will be no surprise that I mention the maritime trade heritage of this city, which is what the prosperity of the current city was based upon. Now, that's not to deny for a moment the importance of the ecology of the river, nor of the Indigenous history of usage of the river and engagement with the river. But one thing that I think needs further expansion within this very excellent document is the way in which the maritime trade heritage of the city needs to be brought into prominence. I'm confident that those who are as interested in this area of Melbourne's history as I am will contribute to this document and perhaps provide more insight into what might be said and what might be developed in this. I'm a great supporter of the Green Line. I believe what Melbourne has lacked is connectivity around our riverfront. I'm particularly interested in making sure or encouraging the way in which such a green line might extend all the way through Victoria Harbour and round to as far as the Ron Barassi Senior Oval. The reality is, well, for me anyway, technically I'm not well versed in this, but we can't, in my view, think about the Yarra without thinking of Victoria Harbour and the history behind that, and the way that's very important in our city. It is, just as we speak of docklands in the early days on the North Wharf, we're talking about docklands and the importance of that in our city today. So all of that needs to be, in my view, looked at in more detail. The Green Line will be, in my view, a very necessary connecting element of our city, enhancing the Yarra and all of the improvements that we are looking at here. This is a very important document. It refocuses Melbourne on the water, and that's a good thing.
Other contributions to the debate? Councillor Pinder.
Thanks, Councillor Leppert. I concur with Councillor Watts. Some great comments there. I think there are some excellent elements to this City River strategy, but I think we must ensure that concepts like Green Line are properly scrutinised and follow proper process, like that which has happened with the Harbour Esplanade Master Plan. Linking all these green spaces, I believe, is a great idea. Of course I do. And like Councillor Watts says, but I think we need to be mindful of wrapping existing work with already completed consultation with a commitment without proper process or scrutiny. So I think that I'm really mindful of that. I'm also concerned, having an engineer for a husband, about costs, officer time and target timelines, and avoiding leapfrogging plans which have been going for many, many years and towards which we have invested vast amounts of council's budget. So in other words, we must be prudent with ratepayers' funds, because that's what we're here to do as well. We need to look after, be guardians of that funding. I think, you know, indulging in projects that will cost us billions is something that we need to be very careful of, that it doesn't cost future generations increased amounts of money. So focusing on the river of mist, as I love that term, for now with the riverfront activation later is brilliant. But something else that's very important to me is accessibility. As Margie knows, universal accessibility has been touted throughout, but I hope that it is exactly what it means, and that is, of course, accessibility for people of all ages and those with physical and mental limitations. People are coming up to me saying, look, you know, make sure that we get the chance as well to experience this beautiful waterway. So meeting accessible standards is probably, as in on a reference on page 64, is not necessarily always acceptable to this vulnerable cohort of people. So we need to be careful, as well as the elderly, of course. I mean, more and more walking up the river just 2 days ago with Councillor Riley, you know, there's so many people on walkers and walking sticks and mums with prams as well. So we need to be mindful, and we need to be very steadfast in our evaluation of what is acceptable for this group of river users, as well as the visitors to our city. The other thing is we need to address the smoking issues around the river. The litter is unbelievable with the butts, and we need to also consider putting into place initiatives that will deter people from not only polluting the air but also the surface where people gather. But great, thanks to the team. Brilliant strategy.
Thanks, Councillor Pinder. Any other contributions to the debate? Councillor Riley.
Thank you, Chair. Look, I can only endorse this draft river strategy. It's been a while since we had something that is as exciting as this, because many years ago a professor from Copenhagen came and said we need to embrace our river. And most Melburnians said, why? It's just not all that pretty. But now look at it, and the activity that happens on the river has just given us a purpose to look at our waterways, and this is exactly what the strategy does. It's full of promises, it's full of good ideas, but more importantly, the beautification, working with Parks Victoria and the state government, will make this happen. And I welcome the new ideas on the activation of the city, as with the pool idea, and I'm sure there'll be many, many more that will come through that will be just as exciting. So congratulations to all on getting it to this stage, and look forward to the comments that come later.
Thank you, Councillor Riley. Any other contributions? I'll then close the debate just by thanking Margie and all of her team and everyone across council who has participated in the design charrettes and worked on this, and invite all Melburnians to have their say on the strategy when it goes out for consultation in a few days' time. I just closed the debate. Is it a
just
question?
Just Parks Victoria. Victorian.
Just delete the N. Thank you. Good pickup. I'll put that motion without the N in it to a vote. All those in favour, please raise your hands. That's carried unanimously. Thank you. We will now move on to agenda item 6.2, ministerial planning referral for 681 to 693 Collins Street, Docklands, which is Melbourne Quarter Tower, Stage C2.
Chair, I am removing myself to conflict of interest under Section 78C by virtue of a campaign donation. So excuse me, please.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. We'll just pause for 5 seconds. No need to run. Any councillors like a presentation on this item? No, I'll call on Vaughan Connor to make a presentation up to 3 minutes. Thanks, Vaughan. Welcome back.
Thank you, councillors. I won't be long. My name's Vaughan Connor. I'm a director at Contour Consultants and act for Lendlease Development. Two development managers from Lendlease are here today, Christopher Munn and David Batto, and the project director, Brian Herrilly, is an apology. He's on leave. First and foremost, we support the recommendations set out in the officer's report, and in fact, we thank council officers for their collaboration in dealing with this amendment application and for the whole of the planning for the Melbourne Quarter precinct. The application that is before the Future Melbourne Committee is an amendment to an existing permit, and the amendment strives to better the existing approval, and it builds upon the original design intent and the principles of the approved development plan for Melbourne Quarter. As assessed by council officers, the design remains generally in accordance with the approved development plan, and the project is an important piece in the jigsaw that makes up the Collins Street commercial neighbourhood. And more specifically, the project will deliver the balance of the Sky Park, which is currently part built along the Collins Street frontage. It will deliver the balance of the Collins Street streetscape. It would deliver additional public realm areas, including the final part of Melbourne Square. It will deliver the north-south lane, which is an important connection between Collins Street and the commercial precinct and Flinders Street and the residential precinct. There's circa 64,000 square metres of commercial office floor space as part of the proposal, and in the lower levels of the proposal there's a range of hospitality and service or convenience retail to activate the public realm and the edges of the building. Insofar as the key planning and urban design considerations, these are addressed in the officer's report and the various referral comments, and these include urban design generally, the architecture of the building envelope, wind, overshadowing, and importantly the interface to surrounding precincts and connections to those precincts and the city more broadly. Again, we thank council officers for their efforts, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Any questions for Mr. Connor? No, thank you. You can take a seat. Thanks, Vaughan. I will now move the recommendation as a motion, and I call on a councillor to second it. Councillor Riley, thank you very much. Mr. Connor's already said, this is an amendment to a pre-existing permit which has been granted. It's been assessed by our officers. It's a significant amendment to what was previously granted, so it's been referred back to us from the department, but ultimately I think it's probably the minister's making the decision. Our officers have done a great job in analysing where those requested changes to the conditions of the permit are and whether or not they should be supported, and the list at the back suggests which should and shouldn't, and I really do hope that DELP and the Minister take those recommendations on board. The process that's led to this has been quite a collaborative one. It's always an interesting task to decide where to draw the line with an amendment when you've got an existing development plan in place rather than a series of other generic planning controls, and I think where we've landed is the right place. This is a high quality development that generally continues to comply with the development plan, and I commend the applicant. Councillor Riley.
Thank you, Chair. Look, I too believe the amendments have ticked off all the boxes that our officers were looking for with this particular planning permit. So I agree, it's ready to go to the next step.
Anyone else wish to contribute to this debate? Councillor Pinder.
I wanted to say it's long awaited, and it's really brilliant and well done to Contour and Lendlease.
I will now draw the debate to a close. No other contributions. Put that motion to a vote. All those in favour, please raise your hands. I declare that carried unanimously. Please invite the Lord Mayor back in. Thank you very much. As the Lord Mayor returns, I will hand over the role of Chair to Councillor Oak for consideration of the environment portfolio.
Thank you, Councillor Leppett. Should wait for the Lord Mayor for this item. Maybe while we're waiting, could I just clarify, is Jackie Van Heerden here, or is someone here to speak on her behalf? Just so.
Yes, speaking on her behalf against what Vincent
Yeah. Yeah, great.
And on my own behalf as well.
Oh, okay. So you got you get to speak once. Yeah. Okay, so there's one report from management for consideration under the environment portfolio. Agenda item 6.3 is a waste and resource recovery strategy 2030. If we could...
Would you bring it to the screen?
Would councillors like a presentation on this item? No. But we have we've received quite a number of submissions and we... have quite a lot of speakers, so let's get into it. So Vincent, you're up first. I'll call on Vincent Ryan. You've requested the opportunity to address the committee. I note that you are also speaking on behalf of Jackie, and we have received an extensive submission from her actually yesterday and today. So while I wouldn't normally say, yeah, you do only have 3 minutes, and you can only speak for 3 minutes, and the clock will buzz you accordingly. But just to be aware that we have received quite a lot of written correspondence from Jackie as well.
Thanks, Councillor. I'm the co-convener of Transition Town Kensington. The transition movement is committed to creating more sustainable communities in keeping with many of the 10 priorities of the draft waste and resource recovery strategy. Uppermost is our desire to create communities that transition to a low carbon future and communities that create circular economies. As councillors may be aware, Kensington residents have initiated numerous waste avoidance composting and food growing schemes. Since 2016, more than 225 households have participated. Many more have participated in food growing and composting projects. To many of these projects, council has provided substantial support. 150 households drop their food waste into street compost bins every week. Since October 2018, 75 households have regularly used the Town Hall compost hub and numbers are growing each week. At the recent Kensington Community Festival in March, I was the transition wash-up coordinator, an esteemed position. More than 5,000 people attended the festival. We had three composting, food recycling and waste stations. There was no rubbish left on the ground, few disposable products were used, and only three bins were actually full of waste. Over 5,000 people, may I add. Such initiatives require courage, thinking outside the box, and leadership. Sadly, the consultation process, while thorough, failed to adequately express our challenge the community or challenge the community to consider the state's waste hierarchy. It was not central to engaging with participants about avoidance being central to managing waste. There was no extensive extended collaborative process. Indeed, if it were not for an article in The Age last week, we would have not been aware that the report was going to council tonight. At the pinnacle of the state's hierarchy is the need to avoid. Jumping to the solution of, let's say, a third bin for green and food waste is not necessarily best practice. Council needs to ask itself whether a third bin will create a circular economy. Will it generate more truck movements, greenhouse gas emissions, embodied energy of the trucks? Why not give each household a compost bin, worm farm or bokashi? I urge councillors to embrace solutions that are not part of the current problem. Simplistic solutions for householders that encourage people to dispose of their consumables without thinking needs to be considered with the greatest caution. I urge council to defer consideration of the strategy tonight and to engage more thoroughly in a robust conversation, a collaborative robust conversation with the community that embraces the principles of empowerment and collaboration. Thank you, councillors.
Yeah, are there any questions for Vincent? Thank you very much for your presentation, by the way. Councillor Leffert.
Thanks, Lynn. I've actually got a question for Linda to follow up on one of the issues you've raised. Linda, the convention when we're dealing with strategies is post-consultation. We've let people who have made a submission know when something's coming back to FMC. Have we moved away from that practice? And can you confirm that that didn't happen in this case? I'm just wondering if we've moved away from a pattern that we've stuck to in the past.
I cannot confirm that we did get back to submissions.
And that's all right. We'll just think about how we do it going forward. Anyway, that was my question.
Are there any other questions for Vincent? Thank you so much.
I've got a copy of my presentation there if councillors would like to read it. Thank you.
Thank you. I now call on, is it Craig Carnell? Apology, there is an H here, so I don't know if it's Craig Carnell or Craig Carnell. Nope.
You'll never know.
No, I will not know. I will have to ask separately. What about Jan Rogers? No, goodness. But we did receive submissions from these people. Artemis Patici, I did see you earlier, so please come and address the committee and speak for no more than 3 minutes, and we can acknowledge that we also receive your written submission as well.
Thank you, and I'm wearing two hats at the moment, the one for SRA and also partly representing the South Bank Sustainability Group. Now, we do acknowledge and we do want to commend the team behind the strategy for their approach towards zero waste circular economy outlined and pointing out all the right conclusions and the right priorities. Where the plan is greatly lacking and why we're defending for the committee not to endorse the plan in its current form is the implementation plan and how to get there in terms of avoiding, reducing, and reusing. At its current form, the implementation plan is basically continuing a lot of the existing actions, and it's not showing the innovation that it's talking about in the plan. Now, unfortunately, when you read the actual UN reports outlining the state of our environment, we do only have the next 11 years to get this right before the tipping point is gone. That's until 2030. We need to have a lot bigger, large scale, more ambitious actions to make a difference and to mitigate climate change. Because after that, that's it. No matter what change we make, it's not going to make a significant impact. And unfortunately, the scientific community since 2015 has identified that we've already entered the sixth mass extinction of the Earth. And it started with other species, and the human species is next. So it's not the time to have a continuation of actions. We need to see bigger, bolder actions and a lot more innovation. And we need to see City of Melbourne leading and being the sustainable leader that is outlined to be in this report, by having higher targets for its event management to be able to show zero waste. In 11 years, you can definitely do that. If I can become zero waste in 1 year, believe me, you can do that. And in terms of its operational waste as well, it should have higher goals than those set for households and industry. Now, other targets that should be revised and raised are such as only a 20% reduction of household waste and only a 75% of recycling for industry, the industrial sector. But at its current baseline is at 61%, so that's not a big shift in 11 years. And that sector accounts for 70% of all waste that goes to landfill, according to this report. We shouldn't be looking at using waste to energy, building new costly facilities and commoditizing waste and creating a need for waste. We should be looking at long-term clean energy goals. And in terms of the CDS plan, we should be seeing City of Melbourne taking lead at this and creating a plan and implementing a plan and then showing to the state government how it can work and speeding up the process instead of only taking a position on it. I can go on and on. There's a lot of action plans, actions in the plan, and a lot of targets that are very low that need to improve. Thank you.
Keith's face, so you certainly packed a lot into your 3 minutes. Thank you so much. Are there any questions? No, thank you very much for your submission, written and verbal.
Thank you.
Okay, so the next person I have on my list is Sarah Reva. Sarah here? Wow. No, so I have no other. Is there anyone else in the audience who expected to speak on tonight's agenda item? No, so we've already, so Vincent was speaking there. Okay, well, we don't have as many verbal submissions, but we certainly received a lot of written submissions, and maybe they felt that they'd
put their case forward in that way instead. So I would like to then move a different motion than that's on the screen. It's quite long, so I don't know, should we... It has been, this alternative motion has been developed with everyone here tonight, so I don't believe councillors need to read it, so I call on, is the Lord Mayor to second it? Great. Okay, so it's long. and I'm reading someone else's submission. Just bear with me one second. Clearly, from the volume of interest in our waste strategy over the last couple of years, the submissions that we've received, the continued interest in what the City of Melbourne is doing with respect to the current waste crisis, as it is called, but, you know, what we're doing with waste in general and resource recovery, there's always an interest in what we're doing. And the community quite rightly want us to show leadership. It is one of the pressing issues for councils across Australia. And we certainly have been thinking about it and talking about it a lot. And here we have before us tonight the 10-year waste and resource recovery strategy for the city. I believe that, you know, some of the most innovative solutions for waste and resource recovery have actually come from the city over the last many years. And we certainly want to replicate that through this next 10 years, through the vision. I know that the engineering services team and others across the City of Melbourne who have been working hard, not only on this strategy, but on other strategies and other plans over the last many years, are certainly some of the best in the business. And I know that the ambition that the community are looking for and that we're looking for can be realised. So we shouldn't be scared of being bold, and I don't think we are. The strategy reflects that. It's a 90% diversion rate from landfill. So quite rightly, it's ambitious. And it reflects the sentiment that we've heard tonight, we've seen in submissions and through the consultation period over the last 12 months. The strategy that is before us, it does include organic waste collection, not only for single dwelling residents in the low-rise areas of our municipality, it also includes our high-rise apartments, which is quite complex and tricky. The buildings are not made for organic waste collection, or, you know, they're not really made for much innovation with respect to waste collection. So it's about what can we do for our new buildings, what can we do to retrofit our existing buildings. It's about creating more waste and recycling hubs in the CBD to tackle the tricky layout of the CBD. It's about reducing truck movements, increasing amenity. It's about making it a much easier process to not only remove the waste that needs to be removed, but repurpose it, recycle it, and reuse it. So more hubs in the city, that's an innovation that's come from our city and from our engineering team, and this strategy talks about rolling more of those out. It is about leading and reducing or eliminating events waste from our events, not only our own events, but also events that we sponsor. I look at festivals like the Kensington Community Festival, which was fabulous, and Councillor Lee Lu and I were there, and I it was really quite impressive, the setup there with respect to sustainability in general, with the flavour in most of the tents, but also a real focus on making it a waste-free event. So it was really impressive to see it on show, and absolutely there were thousands of people when I was there, and my daughter didn't want to leave. But, you know, I think we should be aspiring to festivals like WOMAD, you know, the scale of festivals like WOMAD. If they can make it waste-free, you know, we surely can look at Moomba and our Fashion Week events and others to be waste-free as well. Absolutely agree with that sentiment. And I really do believe that it is within our strategy to try and meet those goals. It's about getting stronger in our advocacy to state and federal government about product stewardship legislation, about procurement targets for products with recycled content. We can't make those changes ourselves at our level, but we must speak loudly in favour of those changes, and we must advocate for that. And we recently passed at a council meeting through our finance and governance portfolio and our procurement strategy just that, to advocate for far greater targets or just targets in themselves around recycled content in products that the state government procure and obviously we do as well. So that's certainly part of it. And it's about, you know, driving the circular economy. We need to make sure that there is a demand, and to create the demand is to make sure that people understand what it means and drive where we can and advocate where we can't specifically pull those levers. And our city, and I'm sure others will talk about it, is full of innovation. We've got so many ideas come to us at council from people who want to help with this situation. And this strategy talks about an innovation fund and about helping to finance projects and products that we can't do ourselves and shouldn't be doing ourselves. It's about working with the Knowledge City and investing in some of that innovation more than we have before. But we have before. We've invested in products like Keep Cup through our small business grants, but we've also run hackathons around waste and really tried to work with our not only our students but also those in industry to get better solutions. And that's all within this strategy. It's about getting on with the container deposit system. We've long had that support for a CDS at the City of Melbourne, but we haven't been loud enough about it. We haven't been vocal about it. We haven't really got behind efforts at other levels of government, you know, in Victoria. So this strategy says that we will, and so we must get louder in our support for such a system, and also. It's about clearly stating that the City of Melbourne will only consider incineration or waste to energy with a precautionary approach, not supporting incineration of materials that can be reused, recycled or composted. And it's about not looking at it until we've reviewed what we can do within the next few years as well. We need to focus on reduction, repurpose, reuse before we consider burning. Because you're generating a waste stream that is required when we're trying to reduce that in itself. So that's, as far as I'm aware, contained within the strategy. So, you know, it's in there, but clearly tonight we've heard and in the submissions that the specifics of how we're going to meet that ambition are not in there. The implementation plan, the actions, the targets, other than the 2030 targets, aren't in there. So it's not clear to the community or to industry or even ourselves, you know, how we're going to test things and achieve the 90% reduction targets within the 10 priorities in the plan. So the motion on the screen actually calls for quite a lot more information. Whilst we're endorsing the strategy, we're actually asking for it to come back in July with a lot greater detail around targets for the different sectors within the community. It's about incentives for residents and commercial and industry sectors to reuse, so the circular economy, like some more details about that. Setting higher targets as well for our sponsored events. And there's some other items in there that I'll let my colleague speak to. And importantly, with the respect to the Kensington compost hub at the Kensington Town Hall, absolutely the work that you're doing in that community is really important. And if we are going to endorse an organic trial, it must be in consultation with your group. And that's what 10.5 talks about. It requests management to liaise with the Kensington Compost Hub Committee to explore opportunities and to come back to us before an implementation of a trial. So we understand that there's been consideration about how the two things can either work together or whether, you know, whether the trial is needed. I don't know. That will come back to us. That's really important. We heard that loud and clear in the submissions last week and this week as well. I know I'm speaking a lot, apologies, but it is really long. There's items in the motion about review of the local laws to consider harsher fines. We heard that through our submissions as well. We have a lot of emails at council from the community concerned about littering in their community and disposal of waste that sits there often in our community and isn't dealt with. And so what can we do to make it easy for us to fine or penalise people, if we can find them, for littering in our community? So I think that's an important addition to this as well. And what else in there? And then, as you may be aware, there is a Victorian Parliamentary Inquiry into recycling and waste management. I think that we certainly need to making a submission, but focusing on these areas that we know the community really want us to advocate on, that are contained in the strategy, but really bringing them to the front of all the items that I've already mentioned. I think that's about it, other than acknowledging that it is a huge challenge, and I don't underestimate the amount of work and the amount of consideration that our engineering team has made, that across council, contributions have been made, that it is a challenge, but I think that if we want to lead, we need to be ambitious, and the councillors are here behind it, and we know that, you know, investment decisions have to underpin it, and that there are tough decisions that need to be made if we want to realise the ambition, and I believe that we're here to support that, so there's a bit of work to be done, but I think that we're going to get there. Lord Mayor, a seconder.
Thank you, Chair. And I am really happy to speak in support of the motion as it appears on the screen. We've had a number of submissions, and certainly the discussions internally reflect the fact that there's a sense of urgency around our response to waste and resource recovery. And of course, at the moment, we're also facing a lot of disruption in the industry. So it is a perfect time for the council to have a policy that reflects the ambition of what we want to achieve as a community, being the local council, us as an organisation, and what we can do to work with, encourage and support all the other groups around the City of Melbourne, residents, businesses, etc., in making a difference around this really important issue. As Councillor Oak said, there is, I believe, a huge amount of ambition and fantastic work in the policy as it was presented, and then the submissions that have been received, I think, also very much reflect the more detailed discussions that have been had also amongst councillors and management behind the scenes. And so by having a more detailed motion, I think it really does bring a lot of the overall ambition in the policy together with a sense of granularity around those targets and the things that we can do to actually motivate changes in behaviour, more understanding and education, and obviously a different outcome in relation to our waste and resource recovery. I believe absolutely in reading the submissions that we all have the same goal, and that's to make a difference here and a really big impact on this important issue. And it comes back very much to the reduce, reuse, recycle, which I always say was my Year 8 geography assignment. And I remember that poster really well when you used to have to cut things out of the newspaper rather than print them off Google. It absolutely holds true today. And it's very consistent, the three R's, with what we do as a council. It's absolutely appropriate to remember that there is rates and roads, but our number three in terms of local council focus is rubbish, and at the most basic, that is what this is all about. So I commend the team. I think the ambition is there. I say to Councillor Oak, thanks for your hard work and other councillors on bringing the detail. I thank the submitters and other community and individual consultations that have happened to really bring some of the detail alive, which is here in the amended motion. And again, I'll just say that we all have the same goal. I'd like to particularly point out 10.2.9, if that's okay, because Councillor Oakey said we could do that in terms of the detail. And just great that Councillor Pinder already foreshadowed this with her comments earlier on cigarette butts. We all feel the same way. We have a massive issue in our city around cigarette butts and what happens to them. We collect over 13 million of them, and that represents what we're able to get before it goes down into our drains and causes issues as much as plastic straws and other plastics do those cigarette butts as well. So including a focus around cigarette butt litter is a particular pet area of mine, and I am grateful that it's included in the motion as an area of focus going forward. But as I say, I think this is a great combination of the skill and work of our team combined with the passion, expertise and submissions of community and councillors, and we've ended up in a good spot, and that is that we all want to make a difference around rubbish. And for those reasons, I'm happy to propose.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Are there any speakers against the motion? Are there any speakers to the motion? Councillor Li Lu.
Thank you, Chair, and also I wanted to congratulate yourself and also the team for what is, I think, probably the most important part of, you know, the three R's, rates, road and rubbish. I think it's right now a perfect time because everything, is all the stars seem to be aligned, and having a strategy like this puts forward our motion. I think the fact that there are just so many there already just indicates that this is, you know, there's a lot more that needs to be considered and going forward. But I think it's the right one. We're going to be the largest city in Australia by 2025 or 26, and the amount of growth that we're going to have, and how do we accommodate for an extra 2 million, 3 million, 5 million people, and the amount of rubbish that's going to be collected from that is going to be, I think, it's going to be one of our number one issues. So I think it's the right timing. I think, you know, it's going to be one that we need to work very well with a lot of the partners, both at a government, commercial, and also international level, because it's going to be a very crucial investment from overseas as well. So looking forward to it. It's not a very, you know, easy task, but I think it's a challenge that we're willing to accept.
Thank you, Councillor Li Lu. I'm going to go to Councillor Leppert because I believe you want to make a slight amendment, so we'll hear that before everyone else.
Can I just suggest an amendment at the end of 10.3 if I magically request? Thank you, team. I'll explain it as it goes up there in accordance with the meeting code. Vin has suggested that submitters didn't receive any notice of the meeting. Let's just avoid that for next time. So the amendment is to just require that all submitters to the draft strategy be informed of the committee date when the final waste and resource recovery strategy and implementation plan comes back to us.
I'm happy with that amendment. Are you a seconder, Lord Mayor?
I am indeed, thank you.
Great. Would you like to speak to the motion now?
Thank you, Chair, and you've done a wonderful job summarising the document as well as the commissioned additions that are going to come back to us, so I'm going to do my very best not to repeat any of that. I'm just going to pick up on some of the submitters' matters, and I particularly note the concerns from Kensington and South Bank, but they're reflected in the written submissions as well that we've got from other parts of the municipality. Waste to energy is a big commitment inside this strategy for if we can't get those diversion rates down through other means. And I'm very, very worried that if we don't provide that level of detail to the community to explain how each action is going to contribute towards meeting those diversion rates, that that waste to energy commitment is going to end up being very significant. I don't want to go there at all. Until we adopt a final version of the waste and resource recovery strategy, I wouldn't want to adopt something so high level without understanding what that residual commitment to waste to energy might be, and be confident that we've done everything that we can to avoid having to make such a commitment. So I fully support the suggestions that have come from the submissions and wishing to avoid waste to energy at all costs. Maybe not all costs, but high costs. So that's why we need more detail and an implementation plan for the first year. So that's going to come back if this motion passes. And I thank Councillor Oak for her leadership in pulling together this motion as a consensus motion on behalf of councillors. Kensington Transition Town has also talked a lot about compost, and I'd like to apologise to them. They made a submission to the 2019-20 budget process back in June, 2018. And we assured that we promised that we would consult with the Kensington Transition Town around co-designing the innovation fund to make sure that small projects in residential areas wouldn't get drowned out with the purpose of that fund, because residential areas, the greatest benefit is leading by example and demonstrating to neighbours and entire communities what low waste living actually looks like, even if the overall gain to be made from a single suburb like Kensington isn't anywhere near as big as, for example, the commercial gains that could be made in the CBD. So we wanted to co-design that innovation fund and ask for consultation with the Kensington Transition Towns. I think that's morphed into a protracted process where it's unclear as to how that consultation was brought back into this strategy. So I'm particularly glad that we've got 10.5 there so that we can direct that this consultation does occur, because we did give the clear impression a year ago that Council would consider funding through whatever the innovation fund that came out of this strategy was going to be to help Kensington, but now a year has passed and I'm conscious that there's a lot of goodwill in the community and we don't want to be putting a stop on that. We want to make sure that we're all working together, and I think that's why a little bit more work needs to be done on this strategy. So I think the two-part process is great. We'll be back here again in July. I know it's a long and protracted process, but we are in a space now where levels of government like the City of Melbourne, people are looking to us for leadership in the midst of a waste crisis and in the midst of runaway climate change if we don't deal with one of the city's core functions. I think we should be stepping up and providing that extra information, so I look forward to this coming back in July and the submitters having another look at it before we do.
Keith, would you mind turning that microphone off because it's making difficult to turn mine on and on. Thank you. Councillor Riley, would you like to speak?
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. And yes, congratulations. It has been a work in progress. And it's a very challenging strategy, this, because it just takes in so many aspects of what is going on in our city. And recently we ran a retail forum just on waste. And I think from memory we had about 200 new ideas, which I haven't been able to see too many of them in this document, unfortunately. But the one thing that does come out to me is that if we don't look after our retailers, our businesses, our small businesses and our commercial businesses, we will get lost, because this really focuses, in my opinion, more on our residents. So I would like to see, when this does come back, a little bit more of a focus on how we're going to meet the targets to reduce plastic bags and plastic in general. Where are we going with this, and how do we have an action from it? So I'm just going to leave that open, because I'm sure that with all the suggestions that have come through from our submitters as well as our retailers, that the officers will come back with a document that meets nearly all our requests. And I do thank them for getting it to this point.
Keep this on. Councillor Riley, thank you. Councillor Watts.
Thank you. A tricky one, certainly. My first inclination was to work towards having this deferred. I can see actually three residents groups plus the retail sector who have serious misgivings about this particular strategy. But I'm convinced that we have to step forward, imperfect though it might be, right now. There is scope for improvement, and I commend my colleagues for working so hard to clarify and extend and expand on what was in an already important and well-researched strategy. It's clear to me that the demand is there on by the community and various aspects of the community to do it better and to do it faster. How we do that is the mystery for now. We have to incorporate so much within this strategy. We are an enormously diverse and very wasteful city, and we're doing our best to actually make improvements. But it's clear that the community is working more quickly on this front than those who govern them, whether that be at local government level or state or federal. So good that the community is pushing us to do it better. Great that my colleagues are so experienced and detailed in their approach that they can improve on an already good strategy. Now is not the time to defer. Now is the time to step forward and improve what we have. So that's why I'm prepared to go with this and support this motion tonight.
Thank you, Councillor Watts. Councillor Pinder?
Thanks, Councillor Oak. Artemis and Vincent, thank you so much. Brilliant contributions and insights for tonight. Really good. Ironically, today we had the opportunity to listen to the CEO of the Melbourne Convention and Exhibition Centre while he outlined some of their sustainability initiatives at MECEC, you know, eliminating the use of plastic coffee cups almost entirely, and encouraging and educating exhibitors and exhibition organisers to reduce the use of plastic bags. So we're kind of, you know, the message is getting out there, but there's so much work to be done. But I think above all, though, Councillor Oak, great leadership from you today in helping us navigate through all these amendments as well. And as Councillor Watt says, it's forward from here. So well done, team, for collaborating with us as well.
Thank you, Councillor Pinder. Are there any other speakers to the motion? No. As you can hear, we're all, well, as far as I've heard, unified in that we are supporting our engineering team and the whole of the City of Melbourne to, you know, to be ambitious, to work with our community, with our retailers, with our commercial sector, hospitality sector, to really, you know, meet the expectations of that we're, you know, that we're hearing, that we've heard, that that we're going to continue to hear into the future. So it's really great that we've worked very well together so far, and I think that we'll continue to work together to make sure that we meet ambition. Thank you also to the people who spoke tonight. I was looking back at my calendar, Artemis, you know, I think it was on the 1st of August when you first came in 2017 and said, what can I do, but also what can the South Bank residents do to help the city with our waste strategy? I think that was about the single-use plastics in particular, and we spoke then about the development of the waste strategy, and the South Bank residents community as well as other residents communities have been watching what we've been doing with great interest, but I, you know, thank you for you and your communities and Kensington as well for really, I think it was Councillor Watt saying, you know, showing us that we really, you know, we've got people in the community that can help us meet the ambition. So thank you for all of that. Probably don't need to go much more. There's a lot of work still to be done. We look forward to it coming back again in July with the implementation plan and specifics about the ambition. And we don't underestimate the task, but we're here to support where we can. So I put the resolution to the vote. All those in favour, put their hands in the air. It's unanimous. Thank you. I now believe I am calling on Councillor Riley to assume the role of Chair of the meeting in relation to small business, retail and hospitality.
Thank you, Councillor Oak. There is a report from management under consideration for the small business, retail and hospitality portfolio. Addendum item 6.4, proposed travel by Councillor Riley to the Cedar and Chips Conference in Milan in May 2019. Would councillors like a presentation on this agenda item? No? Well, I'll call on a councillor to move the motion. Thank you, Lord Mayor. I call on a councillor to second the motion. Thank you, Councillor Louis. Lord Mayor, would you like to speak to the motion, please?
Thanks, Councillor Riley. And I'm delighted to be able to speak to this motion this evening. These opportunities do arise, and I'm so pleased that we've been able to take advantage of it. So we received an invitation to attend the Seeds and Chips Conference in Milan. The invitation actually only came through early this month, and we've been able to respond well. So thank you again to the management team. They considered that invitation and have put a recommendation forward that Councillor Riley attend that conference on our behalf. It is a major international conference that has a number of aspects to it, many of which go to absolutely core parts of Melbourne's DNA and our economic prosperity going forward. I know that all of us agree that it's vital that we do engage with global leaders in industries that are the foundation of the City of Melbourne's prosperity, and certainly our hospitality and retail sector are considered core. It's one of the most renowned things for us as Melbourne City is our food and our food culture. There are, as I said, a number of streams of activity during the conference. In addition to being able to hear from global leaders, some of those areas of particular interest are around retail and hospitality, the next wave of innovation, the role of startups and agile businesses in growing, which is a funny thing to say, but growing our food economy, and sustainability, and the list goes on in terms of benefits. So I note particularly that for us, our first consideration was very much around major projects, which is why I'm happy to propose as Chair of Major Projects, and for you as Deputy Chair of Major Events, sorry. Thank you. I knew I'd get that right eventually. Major events for you to go on our behalf. I note that because there's a partner event that's held here in Melbourne in September, and that event is something that we want to grow, and it's called Global Table Feeding Our Future Conference. We know that by participating in the partner conference overseas, we have the opportunity to promote our conference here. And as we heard from Peter King today, the way in which we grow that business visitor economy is very important right across Melbourne for all of the benefits that it brings. So from that major projects perspective, that's important. You'll also have the opportunity to do some meetings on fashion and design. We had the ambassador from Italy here earlier, or late last year, I think, really beseeching us, I guess is the word, to come and visit on the basis of wanting to share more information around their fashion week and their design week, for which they are globally renowned, and really opening the doors to us as a sister city to come and learn more about those aspects of those major events and what we can do to enhance those events here. And of course, among another major event here for us is our fashion week in September. The sister city I mentioned, and whenever we do get an opportunity to continue to support those long-running relationships, I think that's really important. We all agree with that. And Councillor Lelou, who is our chair of that particular portfolio, I know is also supportive, although I shouldn't be speaking on your behalf, but of us doing what we can to support those sister city relationships. So. For those strategic reasons, as well as the nature and detail of the agenda, and on management's recommendation that Councillor Riley travel to the conference, I'm very happy to move this motion, to support this motion, and I know that Councillor Riley will make the most of the opportunity and bring a wealth of knowledge back to other councillors across their portfolio and to our executive team in relation to those relevant items. So thank you very much, Councillor Riley.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Councillor Louie, would you like to speak to the motion?
Thank you very much, Councillor Riley. I'll just briefly say a few words. I think Councillor Riley certainly is the appropriate person to represent Council, considering I think we will be able to probably kill two birds with one stone here. One, pardon the pun maybe, but
Italian birds.
Could be cooked. But either way, I think the conference is important because considering, I think, the handover to Melbourne, 13,000 plus delegates in Milan, important topics, diversity, food connections, trading, all are important. But I think the other most important part is this year we celebrate our 15th anniversary of the Milan-Melbourne relationship. I think is an opportunity to certainly to deal with our counterparts out of Milan, I know that the Secretary General of the Italian Chamber of Commerce and Industry here in Melbourne have just recently returned from Milan, and I think they've expressed certainly a strong desire for Melbourne to initiate more business connections between the two cities, and particularly that the original relationship in 2004 was initiated by the Italian Chamber and the Italian community in Melbourne, that it certainly, I think, helps that the relationship is not so much elevated but progress and enlivened maybe a little bit. But the conference is important to support our three levels of government. We've got DFAT, of course, we're working with. We've got the Victorian government and the City of Melbourne working together. But most importantly, I think Food and Wine Victoria is also a major event here, one which we should support. So I look forward to you bringing back the summary back from Milan, and also look forward to welcoming the delegates here in September of this year.
Councillor Louis, are there any speakers against the motion? Are there any speakers for the motion? All right, if that's the case, I'll put the motion to the vote. All those in favour, I'll put my hand up. Thank you. Thank you. I'll now call on Lord Mayor. It's passed unanimously. I just presumed that. I now call on our Lord Mayor to resume the chair for the remainder of the meeting.
Thank you, Councillor Riley. That concludes reports from management for consideration this evening. There is one item of general business to be considered. Item 7.1, proposed travel. Councillor Jackie Watt, Smart Precincts and Innovation Hub Summit and Maritime Heritage Meeting, Sydney, May 2019. Gosh, we're busy in May, aren't we? And I'm going to call on Jackie Watts to move the motion. Thank you. I'm going to second Councillor Pinder. Thank you. No, Councillor Pinder can second the motion. Excellent. Jackie, Councillor Watts, apologies. Councillor Watts, would you like to speak to the motion?
I think the motion is self-explanatory. I've been invited there to speak, and I'm hoping to gain information on a number of different elements, the maritime trade element, and also having a look what Sydney does in the smart space. So I'd appreciate your support on this. And I would like to say thank you to Chris Thrum for continuing to watch what we're doing and encourage us in our work. Thank you.
Councillor Pinder.
Well said, Councillor Watts. I was going to say Jackie. Councillor Watts really amazes me. She does so much when she travels privately. And this is an amazing duo, I think, smart cities and the maritime call. And I think she'll do brilliantly in Sydney and bring back some great stuff for us.
Are there any other speakers to the motion this evening? None, then I'm going to put the motion to the vote. All those in favour, raise your hands. That is unanimous, and I declare that motion carried. Thank you very much. Well, this concludes the items of general business for consideration in open session. Councillors, are there any items of urgent business that you want to raise at this point? There are none. Thank you very much. So it brings us to public questions. We allow a 15-minute slot, as I said, at the end for public questions. At this point, if you have a question, could you please raise your hand? No. Yes, two. So if we could have your names, that would be great, and then we'll get you each to come to the podium. We know Shane and I, Scanlon, and I'm sorry, there's a lady I can sort of see behind you there. Okay, please come, and if you could say your name and your question, that would be fantastic.
My name is Maureen Ashmore. I'm here to ask some questions for Mr. Hannity. I think a couple of weeks ago he said he had contacted Victoria Police and asked them to expedite the investigation into the ex-Lord Mayor. Is that correct?
Did you want to say all of your questions and then we can...
All right, I'll ask the question. Is the Melbourne City Council being fully cooperative with Victoria Police in any requests they have for information on the ex-Lord Mayor?
So there are the two questions, Maureen?
No, there's one question.
One question, that's the total question?
Oh, that's the first question. I've got other questions.
Okay. Did you want to let us know all the questions?
No, and then... I'd just like to get a yes or no from that question if I can.
Sure. Lord Mayor, happy to answer the question. Yes, we've written to the Victoria Police twice. We've not been requested anything from the Victoria Police. So I think we can only say yes, we're being cooperative.
Good.
Fully cooperative with Victoria Police.
Yep. Yes. Maureen, okay. Next question.
Yes, yep. All right. The next question is, has Melbourne City Council sent letters via your lawyers to any person asking them to drop criminal charges against the ex-Lord Mayor?
No. Lord Mayor, through you, no. No? But I'm not sure good. That's... the answer's no.
No? Okay. Maureen?
I think in the papers last week it was reported that Carla Williams had received a letter from the council lawyers asking her to withdraw charges.
No. I think we've had
I'm
the answer
sure
to that question.
The answer to that's also no, but I'm not...
It was reported in the paper that if she withdrew the charges against the ex-Lord Mayor, the council would consider releasing the Freckleton report.
No, that's not accurate.
That's
not accurate.
That is a wrong report in the papers.
Yep.
Okay. So Melbourne City Council has not requested any other women withdraw police charges against the ex-Lord Mayor?
No, that's correct.
Okay. Does Melbourne City Council continue to state on the record that all allegations of misconduct should be forwarded to Victoria Police?
No. Again, the question is up to the individual as to whether or not they wish to go to the Victoria Police. In this instance, you're referring to Carla Williams. Carla Williams chose to go and make a complaint to the police. We understand from statements the police have made that that matter's under investigation.
And you have not asked her to retract her statement from the police?
No, we've not asked her to retract her statement from the police. In fact, we welcome the fact that she's gone to the police. The police have more powers than does the city to go and investigate this matter.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Maureen. Shane Scanlon.
Thank you. I find it hard to imagine that anything in the paper couldn't be true, but be that as it may. The Queen Victoria Market is my topic. When we were here last, Lord Mayor, you managed, I think, very ably to get a consensus around a new plan, which a unanimous consensus around a new plan, which has as its centrepiece the retention of Market Square for public purposes. So I was talking to Philip Cleary today. He's the spokesperson for STAG, the Traders Action Group, I think it stands for, something like that, who seems to be under the impression that he's going to be invited into the tent, into the decision-making process. So I just wanted to ask whether that's the case.
I'm not sure what decision-making process he might have been referring to. As you know, we have our standard council procedures. We have our... Committee of Trustees, which is to provide advice and guidance only, and Phil's not a member of that. We are constantly in engagement at QVM in terms of an operational point of view, so PTY LTD and the council, with groups around their interests, and he may have been referring to that ongoing engagement. And we have our Trader Representative Committee. We are aware that Phil, I think CEO, you may know the details, has been working on incorporating a trader representative group. As far as decision making process, I think Phil, as part of the voices of people who are engaged and passionate and interested at the market, is certainly one of those very proactive participants. As part of that trader group. I think I could definitely say that.
A different representative group or the same one?
Do you mean stag?
No, no. Did I misunderstand? Did you say that stag would be working with the traders' representative group, the existing?
Well, there's a traders' representative committee that meets regularly, yes. and they interact with QVM Pty Ltd.
Yep.
I'm not sure whether Phil's on that because he's not actually a trader himself. But I'm saying that in terms of ongoing engagement with groups that are passionate, interested, and have ideas around the market, obviously there's ongoing engagement at QVM Pty Ltd level particularly, and in relation to Option A, which was approved, that's moving forward in relation to the detailed information to come back at the August meeting.
I can confirm. We have received a letter through you, Lord Mayor. We have received a letter to say that Stag has been incorporated. That's the extent of what we've received.
Thank you.
I'm not sure if it was in relation to something particular, Shane, but you can let us know. All right. We are... any other public questions in our 15 minutes? Thank you for those, Maureen and Shane, and for participating this evening. I thank members of the public, management and staff for their interest and attendance this evening. Happy Easter to everybody, or holidays, and it's Passover as well, so it's a very special time of year for lots of people. I hope there are happy and safe holidays, and look forward to seeing everybody at our next meeting. I declare the meeting closed at 7:05 p.m. Thank you.